Hey, good morning, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to Engaging Walk. Today is the 17th of June, 2024. My name is Drake, and you're listening to the Engaging Walk podcast. If you're new to the podcast, this whole podcast is about relationships, marriage, parenting, and dating. And we like to cover a variety of topics. We have our five C's of connection, and you don't want to miss that one. That's coming up. But today's episode, you know, since my wife is still at the homeschool convention, learning a lot about how to run a homeschool, network with other homeschooling parents, and learning about all the different facets of the education and how that works, because we have another venture of our business, which is homeschoolcalifornia.com, where we're building a website to help parents in California network and, you know, understand the criteria and all that. So she's going to this conference right now, and she's learning a lot. So when she comes back, we're going to cover the five C's of connection. But in the meantime, we're going to cover this topic today, which is how do we forgive our parents? And if you're new to the podcast, you want to also know that the whole idea of engaging walk is going out on a walk with your partner, talking about these conversations and having these discussions so that you kind of like break up the routine, if you will. So if you have a routine at home, you're like, okay, we cook dinner, we have dinner, wash the dishes, sit down, relax, you know, maybe scroll through social media or whatnot. Having an engaging walk, going out, devices away, and the act of going out and going to a new place or a place that you've been to before, a place that you really like to go to, and walking and talking is a great way to connect, a great way to refresh, be outside, and engage with your partner. So without further ado, we'll cover the content, which is today's content again, is how do we forgive our parents? So our parents, some are better than others, and that kind of goes without saying, but it is important to address that pretty much no matter who your parents are, they have at some point in your life made a mistake and hurt you. And of course, some wounds are deeper than others. You know, your idea of a mistake that your parents hurt you might be that they lied to you, or that you know, and that it can go all the way up to extremes of, you know, very serious physical or even sexual abuse. And those wounds that we carry from our parents, they have a way of staying with us for the majority of our lives. And we have to either forgive our parents, accept like what happened, and a lot of this will come up, as we talked about in the Friday's podcast, which was that a lot of this will come up when you have children of your own, and you will discover, wow, I haven't really totally healed from that experience, you know, fill in the blank with my mom or my dad. And that all comes from just like the nature of the fact that our parents are human and they make mistakes. Again, some are worse than others, but inevitably the parents that you have are going to make mistakes. They're going to lose their patience. They're going to lie to you. They're going to hurt you in some way that wound will be carried for the rest of your life. And unless you are able to forgive them. So how do we do that? And I think I covered a little bit about this on Friday, about some of my wounds with my parents. And I didn't really go into a whole lot of detail. I won't again today. But it is, I think, important to address like what exactly my wounds are and how I've come to grips with them. And maybe this can be something that other people can learn from and resonate with. So without, you know, I'll just kind of briefly talk about it. You know, with my mom, I'll preface it with this, that I love her very much. She was an amazing mom, is an amazing mom in a lot of ways. But she made a lot of mistakes when we were growing up. And when I mean like we, I mean myself, my brother, and my sister, all of whom are very close in age. I'm 13 months apart. I'm the oldest, and my brother is 13 months younger than I am, and my sister is 15 months younger than he is. So very close in age. My mother and our father had each of us in, you know, very close succession. And because of that, we grew up together. And if I couldn't rely on my parents for things, I could rely on them. Even though I was the eldest, like, I could, you know, we could find a way to, like, work together, if that makes sense. So some of the things that my mother did was, as I talked about, which this was, again, this is the norm back when I was growing up, which was physical abuse. And sometimes it was more aggressive than others. Sometimes it was like a spanking, or, you know, like pulling the ear or whatever. But other times it was like hitting with the belt, or hitting with objects. And sometimes it would be for reasons that were kind of like benign. Like, now that I look at it, it'd be like, you know, if we were on a Saturday morning, like when, you know, normally we would expect to like go to the park or like go do things as a family. If my mother was like going to go out for that weekend and like get her nails done, then like she would be really upset if we were like too rambunctious at the nail salon and like embarrassed her. And then like we would, you know, she'd be like, okay, well, when we get home, I'm going to whip you guys. And she would get the belt and hit us. And like I was saying yesterday, like, or I'm sorry, on Friday, which is that those memories are actually some of my most vivid memories of my childhood with my mom. And that's really unfortunate. And it's unfortunate for both of us, because she did do a lot of good. You know, I remember a lot of the good things, but they are just more pale in comparison to the times in which we were beaten, you know, especially the times that were more severe. And I think the reason behind that is because, like, you're kind of like unsure of like who you can trust. If this is like your primary caregiver, the person you're supposed to rely on for things, you know, for your survival, and they're hurting you in such a way. So, you know, obviously this is when I was very young, like all the way up until I was probably about like 13 or 12 or around there. And I probably got a little bit too big for, you know, my mother to abuse. But the abuse started shifting into like more emotional, like throwing me out of the house for not helping her with bills. You know, I started working when I was 13 because my family was very poor. My parents split up when I was like 6 or 7 years old. So I worked when I was 13, and then like she would always like ask me for money. Like, hey, we need, or pretty much she was handling my money, but she was taking it. And then by the time I turned like 16, and I had a car, I would carry, you know, my cash on me. And then she was like, hey, I need like $200 for this, $200 for that. And I would give her the money. But I remember there was this one time when I kind of just like got sick of it. I was like, I want like money of my own. And she and I got into a huge fight, and then I ran away and like went to go live with my cousins for like, I don't know, like a week or so. And then we sort of like patched things up after that. But I remember there was one time in which I was at a friend's house, and this was like maybe it was very fresh. It might have been like a week or like a couple of weeks after I had just been to a funeral, and a really good friend of mine had killed himself. And this is like the second time that it happened in my life where a good friend had killed himself. And, you know, I remember being at the funeral, and then like me and my brother and a friend were hanging out, and I started like really like dwelling on it. And I started getting into like a really negative, like headspace about what had happened with his death. And, you know, I started thinking about like Like how depressed he must have been to take his life at such a young age. I mean, he must have been only like 28, 27 years old at the time. And I started really feeling depressed because I remember feeling like that I wanted to die when I was going through that trauma with my mom. So at the time I was getting ready to leave for the Navy and I was waiting to be shipped out. So I was in Boston at the time. So I drove home to her house because that's where I was staying at the time when I was getting ready to leave because I wanted to say goodbye to everybody before I left for the military. And she could tell like something was wrong. And my mother normally has like a very, at this point in her life, you know, obviously it was different when we were younger, but at this point in her life, she has like a very calm demeanor or like a very like happy demeanor, very upbeat. And her demeanor changed when I decided to open up to her about why I was feeling so upset. And I opened up to her about like my friend and how he had killed himself a couple of weeks ago. And I started really thinking about where was he at that point in his life where he decided to end his life like that. And she opened up to me about the struggles that she went through as a single mom and how things changed after her divorce with my father. And then, you know, her struggles also with people that died in her life. And that just like she had like really strong bouts with depression during that time. And I'm sure that like it makes sense now that I think about it. And her opening up to me about like how she felt during that time that I was younger, that like she had really struggled with depression, that she, you know, was like feeling very guilty about the divorce. And then like what, because it wasn't just like that we had a divorce. It was after the divorce, me and my brother and my sister stayed with her like for, you know, like primary custody. And like we went from living like a pretty like middle class kind of lifestyle to like poverty. You know, very, very serious poverty. So our lives changed like for the significantly worse due to that. And she felt really guilty about it. And when she opened up to me about it, I realized that I hadn't really forgiven her for all of those years. And I decided then and there that I needed to forgive her. And it wasn't like I forgave her once. It was like I forgave her and then I had to like keep forgiving her. You know, each time like those feelings had come up where I was like, oh man, like, man, we had it so rough back then. I try to like think like, okay, well, she was going through a lot and the past is the past. She's the only mother that you're ever going to get. She's the one that God decided to give to you. And of course she made a lot of mistakes. A lot of them were very serious. But she's the only one that you've got. And you have to try to make amends with her. Because at least she said sorry. And at least she is trying to maintain the connection. You know? And this is in contrast to my father who, you know, the only like thing that he did wrong was leave, really. And at the time, I kind of know, like that was the other thing was like no one like ever explained to me like, oh yeah, we're getting a divorce. I'm going to leave and go down and live in Florida. But, you know, he did. And now that like I'm older and I know like, oh, this is what it's like to be a father. I couldn't imagine, you know, if things were similar for me that I would just like leave and go to a different state, you know, and not want to be near my child. But my dad, you know, was going through a lot of grief in his divorce with his wife, my mom, and he decided that he wanted to start over in his life. So he moved to Florida and eventually, not too long afterwards, he had another wife and then started a new family. And then myself, my brother, my sister, we all kind of just like felt, like replaced. And sometimes we would go stretches for like 2 years without ever hearing from him. And I remember like there was one day where I called him and then like I realized like, oh, I feel like I'm the only one that's like calling him. So I called him again and I was like, yeah, he never really reaches out to me. Let me see when he will reach out to me. And I didn't hear from him for like 2 years. This is probably from the time that I was like 18 until like 20. So again, it happened when I turned like 26 or 27 or so. So that was probably around the last time that I talked to my dad, was like when I was like 27, which is over a decade now. And although I would like to have a relationship with him, I feel like, he just doesn't want one. And like, it's such a difficult thing when like your other parent is like, doesn't want anything really to do with like the first children that he had with his, in his previous marriage. So I have a very stark contrast. On one hand, I have my mother who committed a lot of, grievances against myself, my sister and my brother, but she is like very much like, hey, I'm sorry about that. Like I want a relationship with my children. And then my father, who really didn't do much aside from just like not want a relationship, if that makes sense. So both of those wounds are very different, but very deep. And, so I think like maybe my example can give people some perspective of like, hey, is my parent like trying to make amends? Do they want a connection? And if they do, I think you have to like, you have to keep that into perspective. And this is the one thing that I tell myself, and it helps me get through those feelings of like, of bringing back that pain, when things happen, there's certain things that got drudged back up when my mother was here to help take care of the newborn, our baby, from my wife and I. And then like some of those feelings kept coming back up, and I was just like, this is the only parent, this is the only mother that I'm ever going to get. And let me try my best to make a relationship with her that is fulfilling and for both of us. So with that, I think, you can, when you keep that in mind and you recognize like, hey, my mother or my father is very, they express regret about the things that happen. We've talked about it and we've addressed those issues and it's time to move on. When those feelings pop back up, you have to understand that, your parents were human, and to forgive them and move forward and have a relationship with them is a blessing, and it's the best thing that we can do as children, our parents' children, is to understand where they're coming from. And of course, like I said, there's some things that sometimes that have been done to certain people, the relationship will never be like amazing after that. Some people have had their lives totally, destroyed by their parents, and then despite the fact that they may after that, express a lot of regret and try to maintain a relationship, I still think it's important to forgive them, but you also have a certain responsibility to protect yourself and guard yourself. That's not to say that like you don't forgive. You forgive, of course. And like, okay, well, I forgive you. Thank you for apologizing and for like trying to make amends and connect, but this is the level of connection that I'm okay with. Anything beyond that is, going to be a work in progress if it ever gets beyond that. So that being said, it is important to set up that boundary in the beginning of making those amends that like, okay, well, I forgive you, but our relationship is going to look like this. Yes, I'm your child and you're my parent, but these are the things that I'm comfortable doing with you right now. And then we'll see, we can reevaluate later on. Like, and that could be like a phone call, or a visit, you know, maybe lunch, things like that, that can help to rebuild the relationship. And it helps, I think, to keep that in mind that like, hey, if my parent does reach out to me, or if they have and they've apologized, you know, and I think that's where having a spouse really is great, because you can share that information with your spouse and be like, hey, this is what I'm struggling with my my mother or my father, and these things happen. They've apologized, and this is what I'm comfortable with doing right now with them, you know. Is that, do you think that's appropriate, or like, what's your take on it? And I think like once we start rebuilding those connections, after having that talk and after having, you know, the grievances laid out, the apologies, and, you know, discussing it and everything, rebuilding the relationship with boundaries is really important, because we want to protect ourselves to not get hurt again. But then we also have to to recognize with ourselves and with our parents in this reconciliation process that, depending on how old you are and your responsibilities with your own family, let's say if you have a wife and children, you know, or you know, a husband, that your primary family is now the people to whom that's your family. And you left your family to create your own family, if that makes sense. And of course, there's still family in like a secondary like way, like, you know, you don't abandon them, but it can't be at the expense of the family that you decided to build. And that's really important to take into consideration. And sometimes I think, from what I've seen with, not just in my own case, but with others, is that one, like the, you know, the parents are trying to come back into your life and like create build up that reconciliation process, that you may have that pushback from them, thinking that like you don't have time for them. And it's not that you don't have time for them, it's that you have limited time. And you have to explain that to them. Hey, I have limited time. You know, I have work. I have, you know, children. I have a wife. I have a family of my own that I have to take care of. And I cannot neglect those responsibilities. So I will squeeze you in with the time that I do have. And I also have my own me time that I need. So please be considerate of that, and don't think that I'm pushing you away. I'm not. I just have other responsibilities. And I think that can help parents who are reconciling with their children, you know, at a later age, you know, to understand where they're coming from, because they may feel a sense of like urgency that like, oh, I need to do this now, because, you know, sometimes I think when people, you know, get to like that age that they're like, I don't have that much time left, you know, but the reconciliation process can't be rushed, and it can't be done at the expense of the family that you currently have, the family that you took on. So I know this is like a kind of like a heavy topic, but it's one I've been thinking a lot about lately. And let me know what you guys think in the comments about this. Like, what sort of tips do you have or about reconciling with your parents, like accepting who they were, their mistakes in forgiveness, and what sort of situations have people come across where they can't forgive their parents, or they can't forgive their parent, and what have they done about it? So with that, I'm going to be signing off, and we'll see you guys. Hopefully we'll have another episode out by Friday. Hopefully we should have an episode on Friday, and hopefully it will be the beginning of the five C's of connection. But if not, then we're gonna talk a little bit more about parenting, as this will be a new topic that we introduce into Engaging Walk. We want to discuss, you know, the new things that we're learning as parents and the new perspectives that we're gaining, and share that with you guys. So with that, we'll be signing out. Make sure you guys like, subscribe, and share the content with people that you think will benefit from it. And we'll see you guys next time. Take care.